Good evening, everyone. Hopefully, everyone is doing well. I'd have to say things are going well here. The weather was warmer today, a little windy, but doing well for March. And spring has arrived, but it's not quite here weather-wise. I want to just read a few verses in 2 Timothy after we pray, and continue in my study of verse 22, and hopefully give an idea or a thought of how we can please the Lord with our heart, with our service, and with our love toward Him. So with that, let's bow for a quick word of prayer. Heavenly God and Father, we do come into your presence. We do thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to share your word. We would ask that it would speak to each of our hearts, that we might learn and do those things that would be pleasing unto you. Bless those in this tonight on Pow Talk. We pray that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear the truths that you would have them to know. We ask it all in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. So I'm going to read just a verse or two before. I think I'm going to start with verse 21. And then we're going to focus then again on 22. Hopefully we'll get through it tonight and we can move on to the next verse. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. By the way, today is February. Or March, I mean, the 22nd, 2016. And so with that, let's get started. It says, if a man therefore purge himself, in verse 21, from these, that was what he had been talking about before, was the love of money. And that money can give us the things that can help try to satisfy the flesh. And how these things can actually work against us when it comes to our spirit and the life that the Lord would have us to live. So he says, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, in meet or qualified for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So it says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I think it's a heart that's devoted to the service of the Lord, one in which it's not it's not working against it, but rather working with us, one that's not pulling us away from the Lord, but rather one that's pulling us to the Lord, drawing us closer unto Him. And by the way, I think that happens because I think the Lord dwells in us. And I think that He gives us the ability to be able to think like He does, to have the mind of Christ, which is what we're all seeking. So we had looked at before, talked about youthful lust. It says that we are to flee youthful lust. It's the idea of just running away or escaping from the things of the flesh, and not to spend our time and energy trying to appease it or trying to make it better or trying in any way to change the flesh. The old man is what it is in each of us, and we can't really improve it. The best thing to do is to reckon it to be dead, and reckon ourselves dead to the old man or to the sin nature that we all received as a result of Adam and Eve. That word youthful had the idea of someone who's younger. I think a younger people. We do, as we age, we do have a little different desires, a little different things that are motivating us. Some of the things that we give up in our use, some of our energy, some of the things that are we consider good, we lose those as we age. But with all that also comes this this desire of the flesh to, I think, almost sometimes to work overtime, and especially with teenagers, people that are not not fully grown, the brains haven't fully developed, and so I think we, like I say, as we get older, this becomes a little bit easier. That might be good news to some, that we can accomplish that. And then it, and then we've also talked about, he says the opposite of that is to follow righteousness, faith, charity or love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And I think this, this lust, again, we should think of it as a forbidden desire, a desire that kind of overpowers us, or a desire that that can draw us away from the Lord and those things that He would have us to do for Him. Then we, when we think about how to follow righteousness, I think it's a matter of feeding the new man, feeding the Spirit. I think the Spirit is in us. Each one of us that's a believer, and I think especially members of His body, it seems like we get a greater understanding of how the Spirit works within us, and we get a greater desire to want to serve Him because of all the things that He has done for us. So now I want to look at a couple passages in Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter chapter 2 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. I got in the wrong chapter there. It says, among whom also, I need to go back to verse 1 for context. It says, and you has He quickened, or we could say, and you has He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And what that amounts to is we were dead to the spiritual matters, spiritual things, spiritual understanding, and that the Lord had to wake us up or make us alive or make that Spirit alive that was in us, in order that we could sense and understand and believe the truth. He says, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So this war in between the flesh and the spirit is still there. It hasn't been won yet, and it won't be won completely with us until resurrection. But it is something that we can reckon it to be dead, or we don't have to serve the old man, the old nature, the old sin nature. We can, through God's help, we can conquer and live a life that pleases Him. He says in verse 3, among whom also we are all had our conversation or citizenship in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So this was God's estimation of us when He tried to work with us prior to our coming to know Him. And prior to Him awakening our new man, or creating us in the new man, so that we can begin to receive the things that He has for us. I think along with that, reckoning this old man to be dead, it does seem to, or has the ability to, reduce and almost eliminate the thoughts of the old man, of the of the thoughts that we had that were all about, they're really selfish thoughts, or about pleasing ourselves. And those kinds of thoughts actually do not bring us happiness. We think that it would, but it doesn't. It really makes us desire more stuff to appease the flesh. And so we need to recognize that enemy that's still there, and reckon it dead, reckon it ineffective, and we can do that through Christ that dwells within us. So he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy," in verse 4, "for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened," or made us alive, "together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together." Now the Lord says this like this has already been accomplished, and in his mind it has. We have been raised. But it's something that we haven't experienced yet. It's something that we need to go through. In this bodies that we have now, we need new bodies. We need to be given new bodies. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. And we won't have that until we receive our new bodies. So even though he says this like it's already happened, from his point of view, it has. From our point of view, it hasn't, but it's just a kind of hope or guarantee that we can rest assured that it will happen. We will appear when he appears, and I don't think a second before. It says he's made us sit together in the heavenly places. We don't know what that's like. We haven't experienced it yet, but we know it's going to be a glorious place, a heavenly place, far above all, in Christ Jesus. And so those are the things that I guess are kind of confusing, is when the Lord says it's done, for us to realize just because he can say it's done and it has been completed, because he doesn't have to deal with time. But you and I, as long as we're on this planet, we're still dealing with time. And so it hasn't happened, but it's a guarantee that it will. Then let's go down to verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship." That's why he created us. That's our purpose. That's our future. That's our plan. And to me, it's something that's not of ourselves. It's something that we didn't do. It's something that the Lord did. And we can rest assured we won't mess this up. We're always seeking for perfection, and the Lord says we are perfect in him. But being the perfect worker, one who doesn't murmur or complain or isn't lazy or is not performing as he might, when the Lord does this, when he works through this, when he allows us to receive the power, and then for us to use the power that he's given each of us, then we can be his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that will not fail, works that will be successful, works that he can be proud of, works that he can bless us with. He says that there's an inheritance that we can enjoy, and a crown, he says over there in 2 Timothy, that we can receive for doing good works. He says it's which God hath before ordained. This happened, as a matter of fact, before we were even created, before the foundation of the world. And he was accomplished by him in his mind. And then when we came into the world, then we have this ability now to work these things out. So what I'm suggesting is the work that the Lord wants us to do can be perfect, can be accepted. It won't be like Cain's, where we can work as hard as we might, and it won't be received. in this case, we are his workmanship, and it will be accepted. Our work, our good works will be accepted by him. He says that we should walk in them. And that's something I kind of wanted to emphasize and think about, even though these are spiritual things and they're spiritual truths that I'm laying out here. There are actually work for us to do, works for us to do, when we choose to walk in them. That's when the Lord can bless us and use us in a very special and unique way. So I want you to think about that when he's asking us to do that, to walk in these things, that he's prepared us or assured us that we can fulfill the task. It's I think he accepts us the way we are, and then I think he molds and shapes us into being the type of beings that he can use to fulfill his promises. Let's go down to chapter 3 now. And starting with verse 17, we want to read to 21. And that's, I guess, the purpose of my lesson tonight is to say, how do we work these things out? And I think it's a matter of allowing the Lord to assure us and to have confidence and boldness that he is dwelling. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So that's how it happens, is Christ is actually in us, and he is giving us the energy and the desire to want to do that which pleases him, that which pleases the Father. He says that you being rooted and grounded in love. That's the thing that motivated the Lord. It was his love. His love for his creation. His love for us, especially his body members. He says in verse 18 that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. It's a four-dimensional thing that he wants us to comprehend. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. In other words, I can't sit down and say there's A, B, C, D, E, F, G for us to do. I think each of us has been given responsibilities and tasks to do, but I think it's how we do it with his love, how we do it not of ourselves, but allowing him to work through us. He says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. This to me is difficult to comprehend, how that we could contain all the fullness of God in us. But the truth of the matter is we fill him up and he fills us up, and we are one with him in that. He is our head and we are his body. And to that degree, we fill him up and he fills us up. What a blessed hope we have. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What a hope, what a calling, what a blessed truth it is to know that he has given us the ability to be able to accomplish the things that need to be done, the things that he wants us to do, to fill him up. I want to just consider, I think, some of the things that we can experience and know now. We want to go to, I think it's chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. in verses 1 to 10. Because I think this is, the thing I'm going to want to zero in on here is the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit. So, in other words, we can not only feel and experience what it's like to be, to have Christ dwelling in us, and feeling the power that's surging through us, but we can also see it in other body members. We can see it in other believers, this fruit. Because if we think about the beginning of what we read there, he mentioned several different things that I think can be a result of the Lord working through us, and it's said to be fruits of the Spirit. So Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, it says, "Be you therefore followers." And what this word really means is imitator. Be really therefore imitators of God. And it's because of what the Lord has done. What the Lord has done with each of us. So we should be imitators of God, or be more like Christ, think more like Christ, act Christ. And he says to do it as dear children. I think it's really as sons. He says, and walk in love. Again, that idea of walking. So there is something to do. We just can't sit back and allow the Lord to do all these things if we want to be workers, his workmanship. As Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Remember, most of the animal sacrifices were burned up. And I don't know how many of you have been around where there's been some animals burned up when the hair gets inflamed and turns into smoke. That odor, most of the time, we don't find as human beings very sweet. It, I'd say, probably more accurate would say that it stinks. But to him, but to the Lord, the whole act of sacrificing that sacrifice for him is a sweet-smelling savor. He enjoys it. The negative side of this, we always have that. It seems like the things of the flesh, which are just the opposite, it's fornication, all uncleanness, all covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints or believing ones. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So he says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. And it's not our words, it's the Lord's words that we use that can bring about and then shine that light on the Lord's truth. Walk as children of light. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So that's something that I think that we can see. We can see, we can recognize when someone is walking in the light and the fruit of the Spirit is working in them, through them, this goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's not always easy to do, but I will say this, for us to know the difference between what's good and righteous and truth, is if we find something in the scriptures that contradict something that we're trying to accomplish or do, then we must know, must realize it's not good, it's not right, and it's not the truth. So I think the fruit of the Spirit is something that when we see this in others, we can recognize it. I think we don't have to be deceived. It goes on in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So again, if the fruit doesn't produce goodness, righteousness, and truth, then it can't be good. It can't be good works. It has to be unfruitful works of darkness. Rather reprove them. That's how you shine the light on their deeds, is quoting scripture and recognizing the difference in between good and evil. I wanted to go down to verse 10, so I think I've accomplished that. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And starting with verse 17 to 20. This is Paul speaking to those at Philippi, or those Philippians. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit. So that might be something that we should consider. Maybe not an outward expression, but maybe just this fruit. He says that it may abound to your account. So I just think that Paul kind of receives credit. My supervisors or bosses, sometimes when we do well, then they are considered to be good bosses. And they sometimes take credit for the work that we actually accomplish. But I think in this case, if they produce good fruit, it's something that Paul can take some credit for, because he shared the truth with them and they listened. They obeyed. They did what he asked them to do. They allowed the Lord to work through them. And he says in verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And here again, Paul could recognize these things. I think we can. I think we have a similar ability. I think the Lord has given it to us to be able to see this, to see this fruit. He said, God shall supply all your need. I want you to notice this is the word need, it's not the word want. Sometimes we want things that aren't necessarily good for us, but the things that we need, the Lord has assured us that He will meet that. And I think it's over and above what we might ask or think. So He says God, that is, will supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So it's not so much on what we've done, it's what Christ has done. And that's how the payment is made from the Father. Then he goes on to say in verse 20, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then I want to go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and starting with verse 6 to 10. Colossians 1 verse 6. It says, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and forth fruit. I guess what he was talking about in verse 5 was the hope that's laid up for you in heaven. And so he says, this truth is coming to you. He says, it's coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. There's something about the truth when we hear it and then we receive it. It changes us. We're never the same after that. And I rejoice in that fact. That I know I've completed my task, and it's up to the individual that I've witnessed to whether he changes, whether he receives it, whether he accepts it or not. I haven't failed. If he doesn't receive it, if he rejects it, that's on him. And I think Paul had a similar attitude, that he brought what the Lord asked him to deliver, and I think it was meant to be an encouragement. It was meant for them to be able to serve and to have their sacrifice acceptable. And so that's why he did it. Verse 7 says, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. In other words, Paul couldn't always be everywhere he wanted to be. He had other men working with him, for him. And they were sometimes delivering the message that Paul couldn't just because he wasn't there. Verse 8 says, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. That's the kind of encouragement that really helped Paul when he found out that people were doing, saints were doing what he had asked them to do. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He also says in verse 11, I didn't write this down, but strengthen with might according to his glorious power, into all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, in verse 12, which has made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Then let's go back now to Ephesians. Ephesians, we want to look at 2:15. Ephesians 2:15, and it says, having abolished in his flesh, that is the flesh of Christ, the enmity, or that thing which might keep us apart, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. I think we are a part of this one new man. And I think each one of us individually has the new man, or the new creation, or the Spirit dwelling in us. I think it makes a difference to each of us. I think we can and should give God the credit for the change that has taken place in our lives to make us have the ability to be able to overcome the old man, the flesh, and we can choose to serve the Spirit because the Lord has done with his sacrifice. Let's turn to chapter 4 and verse 24. 23, let me read that one. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's that new man that dwells within us. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. And then finally, I want to close over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, talking about this new man yet again. Let me look at 9. It says in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." I think we really need to pray this prayer for all of us, not really just for ourselves or our family, but for all the members of his body, that we might be strengthened by that, that we might have a desire, a greater desire, to want to put him first. And that you may, in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. That's the ability, the energy that we need to be able to accomplish that which the Lord would have us to do in him. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I had some other verses that I could discuss, but I really feel like that I've made the argument. I've made the verses necessary, read the verses necessary for us to be able to understand what Paul meant back there in 2 Timothy in chapter 2 in verse 22. So I'll just read that again. "Flee also youthful lust, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So hopefully I've expressed in a way you can grasp on how you can each do that, how you can each be found pleasing unto the Lord for being able to accomplish the good work that he wants to do through each of us. So with that, let me close with a quick word of prayer, and then we'll open up the mic. Heavenly God, Father, we do thank you for your truth. We thank you for the understanding that you've given us. We trust that we might desire to want to walk worthy, to walk in a manner that would be pleasing unto you, that you would help us to do that, that you would help each one that has a desire to do that, to strengthen our desire to have the Spirit work in us even more powerfully, that we might be able to please you with all that we do and say. We ask it all in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and for his sake. Amen. So with that, let me open up.